The conversations on ProAdvocate Radio are informational only and are not to be considered legal advice. The comments and opinions on ProAdvocate Radio are those of the guest and host alone. They are not the thoughts or opinions of the ownership or management of Business Radio X, nor should they be seen as an endorsement by either ownership or management.
From the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for ProAdvocate Radio, brought to you by My Advocate Center.
Please keep in mind the conversations on ProAdvocate Radio are of an informative nature and not to be considered legal advice. The thoughts and opinions expressed on ProAdvocate Radio are those of the hosts and guests alone. They are not the thoughts or opinions of WEKS, 92.5 The Bears Management or Ownership Group, nor are they endorsed by them. Welcome to our new show here on 92.5 The Bear, ProAdvocate Radio. You're asking yourself, what is ProAdvocate Radio? It is radio to help those in our community that are having to deal with the family court system to get in touch with the right professionals so that they get the right outcome for them and for their children. We're happy to have Deb Beacham and My Advocate Center as a sponsor and host of this show. We'll be touching on a lot of topics and bringing in a lot of experts discussing divorce and family conflict in general from all different angles. It's very important to not only get professionals involved that are good at what they do, but the right professionals for your situation. We do want your feedback. We want your input. We want your questions. The best way to get those to us is to go to Deb Beacham's site for the My Advocate Center. That is myadvocatecenter.com. You can ask questions. You can report about your case. You can even do this anonymously. You don't have to give us your name or any of your contact information. We look forward to shedding some light on how the family court system works, hopefully helping you to not make some mistakes that could be costly financially and bringing more hardship on your kids. Because at the end of the day, that's what the My Advocate Center is all about. It's about advocating for the kids. The kids are the ones that get hurt the most in these divorces, and we want to do all we can to protect the parents' ability to financially take care of their kids, but emotionally look out for their children. This is a trying and difficult time for anybody having to go through a divorce, and we want to make it as easy as possible. Hopefully, maybe even put you in contact with an expert that would keep you from having to go down this road at all. Welcome to ProAdvocate Radio with your host, James O'Brien, and Deb Beacham, founder and director of My Advocate Center. And Deb, we spent a lot of time talking about the shenanigans that go on in the family court system, but today we get to talk to one of the good guys.
Yes, that's right. Good morning, James. And we have here as our guest, Danny Najjar of Najjar and Serif. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. So we were talking offline and kind of bringing into the airwaves what it's like to be a family law attorney. And one of the questions that we wanted to have you address is what brought you into family law?
Well, it was a long and winding road, but when I entered the military in 2004, I wasn't aware of all the different opportunities that you could pursue as a military attorney. And one area that I got assigned to was the Legal Assistance Division. And in the military, or in the Army, or Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, service members, airmen, soldiers, Marines, they need help. And their job is to focus on protecting us, going overseas, and fighting, actually. And so to keep their minds clear, they need someone to take care of their affairs, ranging from custody issues to preparing their wills, powers of attorney, guardianship concerns, step parent adoptions, and they get free legal advice as well as they should.
That's great.
Yeah. And so they have an opportunity to come and meet at any time once they book an appointment with a legal assistance attorney. Now, at the base that I was at, which is Fort McPherson, had a robust legal assistance division. And so we had an opportunity to see a lot of service members come into that base, and it also served a lot of the retirees in the Atlanta community. So I found myself handling a lot of these cases and really doing some good work. I met thousands of soldiers, I would say, over a four-year career as both a civilian and a soldier, and helped them with a lot of family issues, ranging from divorce to some custody and guardianship issues. We could never see it fully through because we couldn't enter into the state court system as a federal attorney, but we handle a lot of uncontested divorces, step-parent adoptions, wills, those types of things. you know, lawyers always complain that, you know, there's ethical issues with what they do. I was doing really good work. I was sleeping like a baby every night.
Right. That's great.
And so I really enjoyed doing that. And then when I left the military, I stayed on as a civilian attorney for the Department of the Army doing the same thing. Okay. And I became chief of that division. And then when I opened up my own practice, I kind of parlayed that experience into practicing family law for now military people, military service members and regular citizens.
That's fantastic. So thank you for your service times two, because you've not only served to protect us, you've served our families well. And I'm sure they were thrilled to have the kind of help that you brought to the table.
The
integrity.
Yeah, they were very appreciative. It was a where you could do good deeds, and I got a lot of thank you notes and from people that were able to help. And it's necessary. And it's necessary for their families too. If their family would get the help when service members are overseas, their spouses could come in and get assistance for what they needed. So it's a valuable resource.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I hope we actually after this show we'll be reaching out and asking more attorneys to help serve our military and veteran parents much the same way, because you're a great example.
Well, thank you. And they do. I think the State Bar has a good pro bono program.
That's right.
And I do some work with the Georgia State Veterans Clinic.
Great.
So I'm trying to continue that work as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think we'll have another show maybe in the next month about veteran and military services and specific to family law, because we're getting a lot of cases coming in where they're asking for help, and there's unique circumstances and unique rules that apply that a lot of family law attorneys are not aware of.
You hit the nail right on the head. It's not rocket science, but you need to be aware of it, and you need to know what it means and what the impact is. For example, if a soldier's going overseas and they're a single parent, what happens with their child? How do you deal with that? Mm-hmm. And the military makes them deal with it. They have to have a plan in place called a family care plan. And they may need to temporarily transfer custody or guardianship so that someone can care for their child while they're serving. And they may not have another parent to do that.
Yeah, I think this is something we need more education on, maybe a dedicated page on our website. And I think you have more information on your blog about this.
Yes, if you go to our website, I've blogged about some specific issues. We continue to do so. And on our website, we have some basic information. But I encourage any veteran or anyone that needed any help can always call in, and you don't always have to come in for a consultation. We're limited on what advice we can really give, but general information, we could provide that.
That's good. Yeah. We had, and actually still have a case pending where the mother was in the Army, and a judge in a Virginia court actually said on the record that the reason he was taking her daughter from her was because of her military service. And that was a case that, you know, I wish we'd had it here in Georgia. I think it was, there was some monkey business going on in the case, a little different. But I think if she had the support from someone like you, it would have made all the difference. But she lost custody to the grandparents, not to the father. So anyway, it's something that she's still working to get her daughter back. But I met Senator Isaacson not too long ago, and he was explaining more about the veteran services, and he's very knowledgeable about family court. And so from where you sit, the programs and services are working.
To a certain degree, I think that they're, it's really hard to judge exactly how the free or pro bono services work.
Right.
I think it depends on who you talk to and the experiences that they have and what the problems are of that particular service member. I think there's a handful of really good attorneys in the state of Georgia that have military experience, have served in the military, and are now helping the military population and the retiree population in the state.
That's great. Well, we want to give them a big shout out and tell them thank you and encourage them to keep doing it and let us know. We want to hear about success stories too.
And
from
attorneys. I encourage anyone, if you just go on the internet, Google, Yahoo, whatever your search engine is, type in, you know, military divorce Georgia, there'll be a list there, and you can read about their qualifications and what's on their website and what gives them that unique insight to help with the case. Again, you know, I don't want to make it seem that it's this extraordinarily difficult thing to comprehend or that most regular attorneys can't do it, but they just haven't done it or haven't gotten the education. For example, if there was a case with extraordinarily complex tax issues I'm not a tax expert, so I would go out and bring somebody in on a case that can help. Same thing with military cases.
Well, and that would be my question is, Danny, how important is it if I'm a military person to find somebody with at least a little bit of a military background? Because military is a different mindset. It's the way things are handled in the military don't always make sense to somebody who hasn't served or isn't very familiar with the way the military operates.
You're exactly right. And I if you like, I can give you an example.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing that the Army does really well, I'm speaking to the Army specifically, I'm pretty sure it applies to all branches. But in the Army specifically, if a service member is separated from their spouse, there is a certain formula that is in the Army regulations that's used to financially take care of the spouse that's left behind. I don't want to say left behind, but that's, you know, it's either right. Remain home or is living in a different area. And so we used to get calls all the time from spouses that say, look, I'm not getting any money. And I believe they either know or don't know about the regulation. And we'd have to call the service member's command and explain. They were usually pretty good about helping out, sometimes not. But it's an Army regulation. You got to follow it. And so it just eliminates right there. There's no courts. There's no process, really. It's more of this is what the regulation says. This is how you figure out, based on their pay, what monies need to be transferred on a monthly basis, and you go to it. Now, it's not always that easy, but yeah. in a nutshell, that's how it works.
Wouldn't it be great if everything were that straightforward and simple?
And then, but a court order will supersede that, or an agreement between the parties can supersede that. But it has to at least meet a minimum standard. I don't know how exactly the right word I'm looking for, but in a more, not realistic, but I'd say real world, dollars and cents, how can this impact me if I don't get a lawyer with military experience? I think a lot of times it comes down to military retirement.
Gotcha.
That is a big, big issue. If you don't know how to divide a military retirement benefit, it's not like a 401k. It's different in a lot of ways from other pensions and programs. You need to have some expertise on how to do that. And there are some good resources and good books out there, but if you are getting divorced and you have a military retirement, hire an attorney that has some military experience who's done it before.
Right.
That is, I would say, the number one.
I would think there'd be a large demand for that right now.
There is. I mean, the problem is that the service member would need to be here in Georgia.
Okay.
And so, as a Georgia attorney, we'd only represent cases that are in Georgia. So, and a lot of times the service members would be in the counties around Atlanta. Now, I'm sure in other areas of the state, there are other military experts that can come in and deal with this type of case. And there are resources, even through the state bar, that you can find these attorneys.
That's good. Okay, so stepping back from your military experience, tell me a little bit more about your practice here and how you do business.
I've been practicing on my own after I got out of the Army since 2011. Most of my experience before that was with the Army. So as I started on my own, I had a solo shop and handled a certain amount of caseload that I felt could provide a certain level of customer service. That's what I realized starting right off the bat. Even when I was in the service and people were talking about their attorneys that they had in the civilian world, the number one complaint I heard over and over again is, I can't get in touch with my attorney. He or she won't call me back. And as I got into private practice, I saw how that could happen.
Right.
Because I started building my business, and I had more clients, and I had to hire more staff. And then I started to get to the point of, well, do I hire more staff to handle this overflow? And I found myself returning calls at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, drafting emails in the middle of the night, returning phone calls on the weekend, just to make sure that 24 or 48 hours didn't pass until I contacted a client. So I could see how it started to slip through the cracks. So that became my primary focus as a solo practitioner, was to communicate with clients. One thing I've learned is that, and I say this in consultations, and it's kind of the mantra that I have, which is, you don't give people enough credit, okay? They can take bad news. Human beings are resilient. You give them the bad news. You tell them what it is, and this is how we're going to fix it. And you try to lift their spirits and be supportive, and you deal. You play the cards that you're dealt. People love good news. Right. Not a problem to deliver good news. Really easy.
Yeah.
Okay. What people can't stand is no news.
That's right.
It drives people nuts.
Uncertainty.
Well, the imagination can do some terrible things to you when you don't know what's going on.
So sometimes, even just that phone call of, you got to stay calm. Nothing's going on. There's no emergencies in family law. Okay. I mean, outside of harm to a child, harm to a party, but that's a matter for the police. So when I get a call, you know, on Saturday or an email, this is an emergency. You know, you have to get in touch with me. I have to make a judgment call. If it's an emergency, you need to call the police. Nothing your family lawyer can do for you that until Monday, where we can get on our computer and write a letter to somebody or make some phone calls. And if it is an emergency you need attention for right away, you need to call the police. Mm-hmm. So going back to, you know, the no news state that people are in, I think if you give them as much information as you can up front about how the process works, for example, you file paperwork to start a case. The other side has 30 days to respond.
Right.
So you can't call me. I mean, you can, but
it's not going to do you any good.
Right. I'll end up, you know, give you a one-time courtesy and not put it on your bill.
Right.
Okay. But if you keep calling me, I got to bill you for it.
Right.
To tell you that the other side still has 26 days to respond.
Right.
So there's not much I can do. So if a client complains that his lawyer is being non-communicative in that 30-day period, that's a problem with the client, not the lawyer. I think the problem gets into, my complaint hasn't been filed. I hired this lawyer 2 weeks ago, and I have no idea what status my case is in, and the lawyer's never around, and how do we deal with that? So I try to educate clients, tell them what our schedule is. We can't be in two places at once. If I'm in court, I need to focus on that case because that case gets priority. Because when your case is in court, do you want me calling back other clients?
Exactly.
You want me focused in you front and center. So we have to prioritize. And but I explain this in the initial consultation or through the beginning of the process.
A lot of it is about setting expectations.
Correct. And attorneys don't do a good job.
And that's one of the reasons when I founded my Advocate Center, I knew there were going to be some tools and offerings to help create the framework for expectations. So that's something that our panel of advisors is working on, is maybe some templates and timelines so that people have something they can hold on to, so they know I'm going to, rather than email and call my attorney back, I'm going to check my timeline, and it kind of gives them a sense of empowerment about what to expect in the process.
And you are listening to Pro Advocate Radio with our special guest, Danny Najjar, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with more with him, James O'Brien, and Deb Beecham here. And we're going to explain a little bit about our new show here on 92.5 The Bear, Pro Advocate Radio. Deb, we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Absolutely, James. I love talking about things that are not popular.
Well, we are kind of talking about something that's not real popular, but very important, and it's the family court system and how to navigate it without it becoming a giant train wreck.
Right. We're very fortunate to be on the air and have some great experts lined up and lots of questions coming in that we're going to help people answer.
And we're going to be on 92.5 The Bear every Saturday morning from 8 till 9. But you can hear us again on Monday
on Business Radio X, Buckhead Radio X. And the URL is proadvocate.businessradiox.com. And I want to point out that we'll be on FM station on Saturday morning. And on Monday, we'll be live on Business Radio X in Buckhead. And you'll be able to actually hear on multiple platforms the show and send in questions. And we'll be able to answer with our experts. And you'll see good content from week to week.
No doubt about it. And we're going to have a lot of great experts in. And give them your website from My Advocate Center, because that's the sponsor of the show. You're the president and founder of My Advocate Center, and you guys get in there and battle a little bit when it kind of got off track a little bit. Let people know how they can contact you there, so if they need help or just want to contact one of the experts we bring in on the show, they can contact you through the website.
Correct. MyAdvocateCenter.com. Go to the Contact Us page and submit the form, and we'll follow up and see what your questions are.
Exactly. But here on Pro Advocate Radio, every Saturday morning, we'll be bringing experts in from the entire spectrum, people you might get involved in the family court system. Now, granted, we'd love to see you not end up in divorce, so some of these experts can keep you from even having to go down this road at all.
Right. Family conflict is any situation that might erupt or might escalate and lead to divorce or worsen what doesn't need to be a complicated divorce. So if we can help you resolve the conflict, help things calm down, help you be less reactive, make better decisions, and spend more time, more quality time with your children, then we've done a good service to the community. And the professionals who add value, that's who we want to feature here.
No doubt about it. And it will be lawyers, financial experts, private investigators, family counselors that deal with family conflict, or maybe it's somebody that's coming in a little bit later and dealing with some reunification, kind of healing wounds that have happened, mediators, law enforcement. And I think what people don't understand, Deb, is you don't have to engage the legal system before you can go to a mediator, before you can go to a financial expert and deal with this while you still have the power.
Correct. If you are interested in reducing uncertainty and making better decisions, there are lots of people available who will help you do that without turning it into a big win-lose war.
Absolutely. And we're going to have fun with a very challenging topic, but we can, if we work together, we can change this dynamic. It doesn't have to be war. Maybe too late to save your marriage, never too late to save your children, and that's what we're here for, is helping people. If you got to go down that road, let's do it in a healthy way.
Correct.
So we invite you, come out and join us. We want your questions. We'll be answering people's questions every week. You submit them to the website. We'll be answering questions on Saturdays. So it's very interactive. And, you know, we want your feedback. What do you need to hear about? What are your questions? You know, if we get enough questions about a subject, we're going to bring the expert in to deal with that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, James, for hosting. And we appreciate 92.5 The Bear and Business Radio X.
Come join us live every Saturday morning. And if you're not within the signal of The Bear, just remember, you can go to 92.5FMTheBear.com and stream the show live every Saturday morning. Welcome back to Pro Advocate Radio with your host, James O'Brien, and Deb Beacham, founder and director of My Advocate Center. And Deb, we got one of the good guys in here with us today, Danny Najjar. Danny, tell us, give us, you know, your practice. How do they get a hold of you guys? Your web address. You've got a great one, so share it with everybody.
Thank you. Sure. If you get onto Google, type in Najjar and Serif, N-A-G-G-I-A-R, and Serif, S-A-R-I-F. David Serif is my partner. We'll show up all over Google. Our website is www.nlikenovember.slikesamfamilylawfirm.com. That would show up as well. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can find us on Facebook. We try to get out there and let people know where we are and how to get in touch with us. And you call up and should be able to get one of us on the phone pretty quickly. If you can't, we'd set an appointment for you to come in and talk to us and see what we can do if we can help you.
And set those expectations
right. That
we were talking about earlier if they decide that you guys are the right lawyer for them. Now, Danny, one of the things that I think is very important is knowing the right questions to ask. When I come in, not every lawyer is going to be right for every case.
That's right.
There's always different circumstances, like we talked about earlier. If it's military, you're a great person to turn to. If it's a lot of tax issues, maybe another attorney might be better. So what are the right questions to be asking when I'm interviewing lawyers? And what's the right number of lawyers maybe to go talk to when I'm heading into this process? Because you come into it very blind.
I think the internet is a great resource where you can read a lot about the attorney you're going to see. That used to not be the case. Mm-hmm. So it was a big referral network. And referrals are still a big part of, you know, ask your friends and family. But that may not also work because you may want to keep some privacy. You may have privacy concerns. You
don't
want to talk about it with your friends. Now that the internet is so robust, you go on there, you can read all the reviews and what people have said. I think you need to go with your, I tell this to clients all the time, you need to go with your gut instinct, your comfort level with that particular mm-hmm. attorney you're meeting with. You should be able to pick up a sense of how you'd work together, even in a short consultation. And there's no magic number. I always tell people don't hire the first attorney you talk to unless they really, you know, they knock your socks off. But it's still a business. People are trying to sell themselves.
Right.
Some attorneys are more aggressive in their approach. Some are more of a soft sell. Mm-hmm. I try not to look at it that way. I look at it as I'm not here to get you divorced or convince you to get divorced. Mm-hmm. You're coming to me with what I perceive is a legal problem. Can I help you with your legal problem? And the plan that I'm preliminarily setting up for you, does that make sense to you and do you feel comfortable with it? You can't go in there and ask, what am I going to get out of this divorce? What's right. mine? What am I? People ask me all the time, what am I entitled to? Can't answer that in a first con. I mean, we start with some basic premises that, you know, Georgia is an equitable state and starts off pretty much at a 50-50 split of what you've earned during the marriage. But you know, beyond those generalities, it's really hard to get into those types of specifics. No matter what, the attorney is going to have to deal with your issues. Do you feel that whatever's being thrown at that attorney, they can handle? So, for example, if Mr. Smith wanted to hire me, but he had some really complex business issues, he doesn't necessarily have to not hire me and go find the one attorney that may specialize in that.
Right.
We would bring in an expert from a team that I've put together mm-hmm. over years of development that I trust to come in and help if he liked how I do things in every other aspect but doesn't feel I'm exactly the business expert for him, that we need to bring somebody else in anyway.
Right. Well, and because there's a lot of different ways to approach a divorce proceeding.
Correct.
Some want to be very, very aggressive. It's very easy for a wounded party, Deb, to feel like they need to get some retribution.
Yeah, this is their chance to fight back and level the playing field and using.
But that's generally not in their best interest to approach it that way, is it, Dan?
I've told clients before, if you keep going down this road and fighting for the sake of fighting, the only people that are winning here are the lawyers.
Right.
Hear an attorney say that very often. So that's,
I mean, let's,
I'm yeah, sure some of our audience are going, wait, say that. Did he say that?
Well, I try to look at it as every case should settle. And a lot of cases do. 90 to 95% of the cases I say we deal with settle. That doesn't mean we're not afraid to go to court. We will if we have to. But you're looking at putting it in the hands of someone who has no vested interest, the judge, which is good. But it never works out the way that you want it to. Nobody walks out of court slapping high fives after a divorce. Well, I've had that once. And I was so happy just to be divorced. But outside of that, it's not a happy thing. It's a difficult thing.
Well, and that's the thing, because you are giving up control. Once you go in front of that judge, it's not up to you. It's not up to your lawyer. It's not even up to your ex-spouse and their lawyer. It's all being laid in the hands of somebody who really knows a thumbnail sketch of your situation. And they're going to hopefully try and make what they feel to be the most equitable arrangement. But you're giving up all the control.
Here's how I like to phrase, and I tell this to clients as well. Most clients want to go through their divorce like they've got, looking at the history of their marriage and using a scalpel to carve out a settlement. Mm-hmm. Carving out certain pieces that go here, carving out certain pieces that go there. You go in front of a judge, they are not using a scalpel. They're using a cleaver. And they're just cutting it down because that's what they have to. Otherwise,
you'd be there forever.
Be there forever. So your best opportunity is to get all the information through the discovery process that you can from the other side, work with the other attorney, work with your spouse, get to mediation, and hopefully have your case resolved in a mediation setting.
Well, generally, from what I've seen, it almost always comes back to two issues, the money and the kids. And everything else, some people get more hung up on, the car or the boat, but generally that's not the big hang up. It's how are we going to divide the time with the kids and where's the money going?
Right. I think that's a very accurate statement. And the kids is the area that's a lot more difficult. How do you get someone to budge off of their position that they feel they should be the primary custodian for their child? But there are factors that the courts use. And if I had a client, male or female, that came mm-hmm. in and said, well, my spouse has pretty much cared for the kids their whole lives. Mm-hmm. And I've been working hard, and it's not my fault. I had to provide for my family and been on a lot of business trips. But now's the time for me to be the primary. Well, that doesn't exactly work like that. But you always have to keep in mind the one standard the judges are going to use the most, which is what is in the best interest of the child at this time. And there are tools that you can use to get there, guardian ad litems and custody evaluators.
We're not a big fan of guardian ad litems around
that's,
here.
That's what I heard, but there are good ones out there.
Yes.
And they can be utilized in the right way to make a decision. But how do you make that decision?
Right.
How do you really say, what if you have two good parents with
neither of them have any dirt under their fingernails.
Right.
What? How do you make that decision? And where the challenge
yeah,
should
I,
go?
I look at it like around the needs of the children.
Right.
The term best interest is so, it's true, but it's so overused and it's open to interpretation. If you look at what the children need, and the reason that I started my own company after divorce was so I could be available for my children. Children, you know, where it's possible, need at least one parent to be available, and they need the best of both parents. That doesn't dictate a 50-50 or even a set arrangement. Stability is good, consistency is good, but I have some authority in this area in that I was a stepmother to two boys. Parents got divorced. They were like 11, 12, and 15. That was a pretty rocky time for them. They needed as much stability as possible. And when you can keep the conflict down, keep the heat on a low simmer at least, and have parents where they can put the needs of the kids first, they have a much better chance of working their way through it. I have twins, so I have an open door policy. When my kids want to get extra time with their dad, when they want to come to my house and play with the puppies on their dad's, I mean, we live close enough together, you know, to each other that we can go back and forth. And we can tag team on the weekends around sports. Because I gotta tell you, travel baseball, oh my. Mm. So we have tennis, baseball, and music, and all kinds of things going on. And we need to see more parents working together and being more flexible. And it's hard during that process. It's hard to reach that. Everybody's competing for the, you know, the upper hand and the outcome that they want. And then 6 months to a year, 2 years later, they realize, oh my God, I spent all that money and it really wasn't that important to get that extra bit of control.
You're exactly right about that. The goal, what I tell parents is that when you create a parenting plan, which determines the custody and the visitation, the extracurricular activities and those things, the goal is that you put that plan in a drawer and never have to refer back to it, and just live your lives and co-parent and be good parents to your children who need you.
Right.
There are a lot of parents out there that take that advice and live like that with open door policies, and they kind of just put it in their drawer and they can live their lives. But the problem is it's not for everyone.
Right.
There are high conflict situations where the court has to step in and has to set parameters that maybe neither parent wants, but it has to be that way because the parents just cannot get along.
Right. They can't, and sometimes they can't make up their own minds or stick to a plan, or they forget what they said and they need to be reminded. So I tend to get more of the high conflict cases, and sometimes since I'm not an attorney, I can speak in tough love terms, and I can talk to fathers about, you know, what I see as a mother, and I can kind of predict for them what life is going to be like if they continue down that path. And, you know, option A, B, or C. Option C is your child winds up not doing well in school, on medication for anxiety. Then they go, oh no, how do I avoid that option? So, you know, and as a mother, I can look other mothers in the eye, maybe put my hands gently on their arm and say, you really don't want to yell and carry on this way. It's not good for you. It's not good for your kids. And you're, you know, really sometimes the best tactic is to get the other side to let it be their idea.
Well, the problem is that some people just simply cannot be reached.
Well, and the problem is it only takes one parent to be the high conflict parent.
Correct.
And then everything goes off the rails. And how big of a challenge does that become if your client's not the high conflict parent, but to the court, a lot of times it comes across looking like both parents are because of the amount of conflict that arises just from one person's actions. How big a deal is that to make it clear to the court that, hey, this isn't coming from my client?
Well, that's where you feel an expert can come in and see through that. In extraordinarily high conflict cases with psychological issues, we have custody evaluators who will come in and make recommendations, guardian ad litem. Again, I know how you guys feel, but some of the good ones that do come in and
there are good ones
that can see through all of that. Mm-hmm. Look, I had a case recently where this mother, okay, she could not be reached. Okay, she made a lot of false allegations against my client that made it impossible for them to co-parent.
Right.
Impossible. I'm worried about this mother's stability. So requested a court approved a custody evaluator, and they will be investigating the case and making a recommendation to the court. That had to happen. There was no reasoning with this person from my perspective. And so that the court had to be involved. But if we could get parents to put their personal feelings aside and really focus on what is in the best interest of the child, then well, I'd probably be out of a job, but that'd be okay.
No.
I'd be okay with that. Not dealing with cases.
Yeah, there are, I wanted to kind of insert, because people don't understand why a guardian or custody evaluator may be needed. And from experience, I know that if I'm telling the court what's going on in my life, the judge may be looking at me, well, that's just your opinion, it's your life, and you as the attorney can't testify, you can't insert your opinion about what the other party's doing. So if you have the objective third party who's accountable to the court, as long as that guardian or custody evaluator has all the information and they've had ample opportunity to see the whole picture, and it's your job to communicate with the guardian and open the door, create the opportunity for the guardian to present the information to the court. And so I go back to around the guardian problems that are being reported to us. A lot of that goes back to which attorneys are on the case. Mm. If you have an attorney who's upholding fiduciary duty, who's loyal to their client, who's honest, who's not looking to fan the flames and run up the fees on the case, you've got a great chance of getting the guardian to make a solid recommendation to the court.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I've had guardians make recommendations that I didn't agree with, but I knew that they had gone through the process the right way.
Right. And let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Pro Advocate Radio with our special guest, Danny Najjar, James O'Brien, and Deb Beecham here. And we're going to explain a little bit about our new show here on 92.5 The Bear, Pro Advocate Radio. Deb, we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Absolutely, James. I love talking about things that are not popular.
Well, we are kind of talking about something that's not real popular, but very important, and it's the family court system and how to navigate it without it becoming a giant train wreck.
Right. We're very fortunate to be on the air and have some great experts lined up and lots of questions coming in that we're going to help people answer.
And we're going to be on 92.5 The Bear every Saturday morning from 8 till 9. But you can hear us again on Monday
on Business Radio X, Buckhead Radio X. And the URL is proadvocate.businessradiox.com. And I want to point out that we'll be on the FM station on Saturday morning. And on Monday, we'll be live on Business Radio X in Buckhead. And you'll be able to actually hear on multiple platforms the show and send in questions. And we'll be able to answer with our experts. And you'll see good content from week to week.
No doubt about it. And we're going to have a lot of great experts in. And give them your website from My Advocate Center, because that's the sponsor of the show. You're the president and founder of My Advocate Center, and you guys get in there and battle a little bit when it kind of got off track a little bit. Let people know how they can contact you there, so if they need help or just want to contact one of the experts we bring in on the show, they can contact you through the website.
Correct. MyAdvocateCenter.com. Go to the Contact Us page and submit the form, and we'll follow up and see what your questions are.
Exactly. But here on Pro Advocate Radio, every Saturday morning, we'll be bringing experts in from the entire spectrum, people you might get involved in the family court system. Now, granted, we'd love to see you not end up in divorce, so some of these experts can keep you from even having to go down this road at all.
Right. Family conflict is any situation that might erupt or might escalate and lead to divorce or worsen what doesn't need to be a complicated divorce. So if we can help you resolve the conflict, help things calm down, help you be less reactive, make better decisions, and spend more time, more quality time with your children, then we've done a good service to the community. And the professionals who add value, that's who we want to feature here.
No doubt about it. And it will be lawyers, financial experts, private investigators, family counselors that deal with family conflict, or maybe it's somebody that's coming in a little bit later and dealing with some reunification, kind of healing wounds that have happened, mediators, law enforcement. And I think what people don't understand, Deb, is you don't have to engage the legal system before you can go to a mediator, before you can go to a financial expert and deal with this while you still have the power.
Correct. If you are interested in reducing uncertainty and making better decisions, there are lots of people available who will help you do that without turning it into a big win-lose war.
Absolutely. And we're going to have fun with a very challenging topic, but we can, if we work together, we can change this dynamic. It doesn't have to be war. Maybe too late to save your marriage, never too late to save your children, and that's what we're here for, is helping people. If you got to go down that road, let's do it in a healthy way.
Correct.
So we invite you, come out and join us. We want your questions. We'll be answering people's questions every week. You submit them to the website. We'll be answering questions on Saturdays. So it's very interactive. And, you know, we want your feedback. What do you need to hear about? What are your questions? You know, if we get enough questions about a subject, we're going to bring the expert in to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, James, for hosting. And we appreciate 92.5 The Bear and Business Radio X.
Come join us live every Saturday morning. And if you're not within the signal of The Bear, just remember, you can go to 925FMTheBear.com and stream the show live every Saturday morning. Welcome back to Pro Advocate Radio with your host, James O'Brien, and Deb Beacham, founder and director of My Advocate Center, and our special guest, Danny Najjar, as we continue the conversation around the family court system and getting into a little bit about the guardian ad litems. And while we're not big fans of them, we do acknowledge there's some really good ones out there. Julia Bloodsworth from out in Augusta did a fantastic job. And I guess it's really, this all comes back to trust in your lawyer again, though. If the lawyer, because as a lawyer, you probably know the guardians that you wouldn't want to be on the case.
Well, sometimes the courts get involved and make a recommendation, or both parties can agree on a guardian and sign consent orders to have that guardian put into place to represent the child's interests. So you do want to trust your lawyer and make sure they have experience doing those types of cases and working with guardian ad litems. The best you can hope for is that a guardian will come into the case, take a look at everything, interview all the appropriate people, and make an educated decision about what's going on in the case and relay that to the court accurately. Sometimes, you know, these human beings, you know, things get missed, and some people are more persuasive than others. I had a case recently where the guardian ad litem did not exactly go along with how I thought it was going to go, but she did make some very interesting and unique observations and recommendations that I felt really did help my client. And we ended up settling the case and it was very high conflict to begin with. And we ended up settling the case at mediation, partially because of that recommendation. And I asked my client, you're getting more than you've ever really dreamed of in the beginning when we started. And maybe this isn't a bad way to look at it if you read this report and see some of the things that they're saying, and we were able to resolve the case and settle it without having to go to court.
Yeah, that sounds like a reasonable outcome. And you know, I think if the kids are having the opportunity with both parents, and even if they have different parenting styles, if they can move on with their lives, I think things tend to resolve better as time wears on. So I wanted to interject here. I really enjoy getting to talk about this this process and what it's like for professionals, not just for parents, because this is not an easy job, getting involved in family law. So thank you for serving not only our country and serving our veterans and military parents, but for serving the community as well, the community of parents and children. Because a lot of lawyers, I believe, not a lot, I've seen a number who are in this business who really don't take it to heart. And, you know, they're either too stressed out and they can't function within that very well, or they're burned out and they just don't put the time and energy into it that it calls for, because it is a demanding job.
That's a great point. It really is a great point, because I tell people all the time that the most difficult part of it is you're dealing with people at what pretty much is one of the worst times of their life.
Right. So even when I start a consultation, I'm a polite guy. I say, hey, how you doing? Well, and I'm like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have asked that. I know how you're doing. If you're coming to see me, probably not doing that great right now. And that's where we are every day, dealing with people with the most difficult struggles and times, especially with their children. That's being a father myself. I have two boys, and I can only imagine if my wife fought, we got in an argument, she files a protective order against me, now I have to leave the house, or they file a petition and paperwork that says I'm a bad dad, or that I need to be limited in the time that I spend with the children. It must be gut-wrenching. The problem is that you mentioned taking it to heart. It's a balancing act, because if we take every case to heart, really let it get inside, we'll become emotional basket cases. We have no clarity and cannot advise the client from arm's length. But if you become too callous, you don't care about anything. You're not engaged. Like you said, you're burnt out.
Kind of like a doctor with a good bedside manner.
Exactly.
I care, but emotionally you can't completely tie in, or else you can't serve them properly.
That's right. I can't function. I've told clients before, you know, you're calling me a lot to talk about these emotional problems that you're having, and we are attorneys and counselors at law. Mm-hmm. I said, but there are professionals that deal with this who are less expensive than I am. So call them and get this stuff off. I said, I'd be happy to listen to you, but I'm not doing you a service.
Right.
And you're going to be pissed at me later on when you say, well, you spent so much time on, you know, I'm looking at this bill and you spent so much time talking about, I don't want to get into that.
Right.
I want to help you with your legal problems. But that doesn't mean we are not sensitive to what you're going through. We are. One thing clients have said to me that they liked is that it actually seems like I'm talking to a human being when I talk to you about my case.
That's one of the best compliments somebody could give you.
I thought so. It felt really good to hear that, because there is a human element to it. But I also tell them that if I'm moving from topic to topic, or it doesn't feel that I'm shifting around in the conversation, that's because I'm trying to keep things focused on your legal problems. That's what you've hired me to do. That's what I need to focus on. And we can talk about these things in the order that I see as a certain priority of helping you with your case.
Well, it gets back to you understanding what the court's going to find important. I may think something's hugely important, but the court may not. It may not make, not that the court doesn't care, but if it doesn't make a difference on what the outcome of my case is going to be, it's really irrelevant.
You make another great point. I've had clients like that they have to have their voice heard. They believe that this is the crux of their whole case. Mm-hmm. And it's very, you have to be very delicate in
and
how
they
you
need
explain.
To keep it off Facebook.
Definitely. You have to explain to them what, I mean, maybe a judge would consider that important, but that's not the whole crux of your entire case. We need to start going through some other aspects, and you're right. They will find a way to bring the conversation, circle it right back around to that one issue. So wait a minute, I thought we've gone over this, you know, and you have to be delicate, because people feel like their lives are in limbo, and it's a balancing act of them trying to move forward with their life, create a new life for themselves when they've been living in a certain situation for many, many years. It's difficult.
Well, it is literally like jumping in the rowboat in the middle of the ocean. Everything that you've been tethered to your entire life now is all up in the air. It affects your job. It affects everything across the board. So there is a ton of fear and anxiety involved in this. And that's why getting with the right attorney that you feel comfortable with, it's got to be that trust. You have to trust the attorney you hire, to me, would be the number one priority.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing to do. Let's really cut to it and look at what it is. You're hiring an attorney. You're paying them money to do a job. So right away, you're working off of that premise of, well, how much of my best interests are they really looking out for? It, or are they just looking, is this just a paycheck to them? And attorneys probably get accused of that a lot. But I think you can tell from talking to your attorney, from dealing with your attorney, from seeing how he or she handles your case, that there are a lot of attorneys out there that do care, that want to get a good result. We're competitive people by nature, and it's not always about winning and losing. It's about, well, really, divorce to me a lot of times seems about just different degrees of losing. And
right. There's no real winner.
There's no winning. But people like to, you know, quantify that. And they like to clarify that I can win this case. And what is really winning, especially when you're dealing with children?
Well, that's it. And, you know, something that Deb and I are continually talking about is moving this from war to more of a business approach. You know, everybody loses in war. Even the guy who won lost. But if you approach it more as, okay, this is a business we've been in for 20 years. Now, how do we, in the best interest of everybody involved, now how do we back this thing down and divide it? And if you, if we can, and it's hard to take that approach when it's emotional, but that's the healthy approach.
Well, I can speak to that. The big issue that I see is getting the two parties to agree to that, to agree to view the case that same way. And then the other part of it, which I know comes along with it, is sometimes all it takes is the attorney on the other side to make a mess of things.
Right.
You have four personalities. You have the two attorneys and you have the two parties. And it just takes one of them to spiral things out of control. we've seen that. But most people, I think, and I'd like to believe, want to settle their case. I think the attorneys do, and I think the clients do. How do we get you there? And mediation is a great, great tool to do that. But I find people in mediation want to argue their case. I said, this is not the day for that. You save that for a trial.
Right.
Today, you are at point A. We need to get you to point B. How do we do that without slinging any mud, without making all these grand accusations? How do we get you from point A to point B today? If we can't do it today, you'll have your day in court. That's going to be the next step this.
I would think a big part of that is mediation means I came there to negotiate. It's not I'm coming there to lay my demands
exactly
on the
right.
table and have the other person capitulate. That's not the way this is going to work.
It's not the way that it works. You're exactly right. Everybody has to give a little to get a little. And a lot of times it's very satisfying at the end of the day, especially after a long, I've had 8, 9, 10. I mean, I know there's some attorneys I've talked to have 2-day, 3-day mediations. Very satisfying at the end of that to have the parties know that the case is over, pretty much, minus drafting some final
right.
documents, but that the hard part is over and that they've negotiated a deal. And the rule is, you know, if you had a successful mediation, both parties are walking out a little bit happy and a little bit upset.
Right.
And that's how you know you've actually had a successful mediation.
Well, and even that 2-day mediation is not going to come close to racking up the bill I'm going to spend in a couple hours going to court because of all the prep that you've got to do. If you're actually going to trial.
No doubt. I mean, it's a whole different – and some people do the cost-benefit analysis. They don't want to give in for whatever reason. They've dug their heels in the sand mm-hmm. on a particular issue. But then they do a cost-benefit analysis and say, well, wait a minute, maybe I should think about settling this case.
The physical and emotional toll on top of the financial. And people don't realize how much stress they're putting themselves and their families under when they go into trial.
You're absolutely right. My advice to anybody would be that going to court in your divorce case should be your last option. You should explore every other option possible for resolving your case. Granted, there's going to be situations where you can't do that and the judge needs to be involved. But even if you can resolve part of your case, maybe you can resolve the financial piece.
Mm-hmm.
So that's done. And then the judge needs to weigh in on some custody issues or something else. Even if you can do that, it's a big help.
Well, my question would be, how often does a custody issue become the stumbling block to reaching the financial? Because a lot of the times you see, especially high conflict parents, they're basically, that's their big pawn. Okay, I know I'm not getting any alimony, so if I can hang on to more time with the kids, I'm going to get some money coming my way.
You know, that's on a case-by-case basis. I think in the general premise, you're right. A lot of times the finances fall once custody is resolved. But I have seen some cases where they've resolved custody and they say, look, now we just got to deal with the finances. And a lot of times people start off on the right premise. I think in a custody case, if people are starting off with, I know they're the primary, but I just want a good amount of visitation time. Mm-hmm. I think that case can settle 9 times out of 10. I really think if I got a chance to get in there, we could work something out, be real creative with the time. If one parent is willing to give that time, as long as they're not trying to wrestle that primary custody away from
right.
the other parent. And really, it's about labels. There's one case where I think the dad had 14 days a month and mom had 16, but she had that extra day. So mm-hmm. she was labeled the primary and
right.
got some extra decision making. And she was so thrilled. And I said, you know, it's one extra day and one other area in the child's life where you make decision. But tell dad, you got 14 days a month. I mean, that's a good,
yeah,
good
that's
split
a,
there.
Yeah,
right.
I don't like labels
right.
for that reason. I think people get hung up on so much of it.
That's true.
Well, I know one of the big labels it causes when you put that visitation, your parental visitation, that is a huge, that is something that psychologically is a huge blow to a parent. You know, maybe sometimes, just like you said, if we didn't have to have the labels.
Yeah, there's a lot of parents on social media talking about not wanting to be relegated to visitor status.
Well, that's why we call it parenting time.
Yes. So parenting time is a much better way to explain that than the term custody. You know, I want to leave the term custody in the documents if it needs to be in there. But really, we're still both parents. And, you know, I think of custody in terms of, you know, somebody being taken into custody in prison. That's not it doesn't warm me up to the.
It's not a warm and fuzzy.
No.
Word.
Right.
No. No. Not at all. Well, Danny Najjar, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my
very,
pleasure.
Very informative. Once again, let everybody know how to get in touch with you guys so that if they're facing this possibility, they could come talk with you.
Sure. Yes. It's you can always go to our website at nsfamilylawfirm.com. You can look up Najjar and Serif on Google. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn. Not too difficult to find us. Our offices are in Buckhead. So if anything ever comes up, we'll be there to take the call.
And you got the perfect 10 on Advo right now.
Yes. Yes. So we're pretty proud of that. I mean, it's just a way to help clients see the work that we've done, so we don't have to spend a lot of time patting ourselves on the back in these consultations, and we can just deal with, you know, the client's issues when they come in.
Yeah, as a marketing professional, I'll say you guys have done a great job representing who you are, making it's easy to find you, and but there's not a lot of hype. You're the real deal.
How is hype going to help a client?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. So yeah. Just so we figure they come in and meet with us, they'll see who we are.
So what matters to me also is not just what we see on Avvo, it's what other attorneys and clients have said about you, which is, you know, I really haven't connected with you until recently because you weren't a problem.
I guess that's a good thing.
Because it is a good thing. It's a compliment that, you know, out of all the hundreds of cases that are being reported into us, your name has never come up once. And then I go out in search of more attorneys to refer cases to, and I have other attorneys I trust giving you the nod. So that's why I reached out, and I wanted to thank you for being here and being our guest. And
thank you,
some
Deb.
Great information
that.
To help educate the public.
And what areas where in the state of Georgia do you guys generally practice?
We generally practice in the counties that surround Atlanta, so Metro Atlanta. We do cases in Gwinnett, Henry County, Clayton County, DeKalb County, Fulton, Cobb, and we've gone to some outlying counties up in Hall County, mm-hmm. and I have a case in southern Georgia coming up pretty soon. So we will travel, but again, you know, I advise the client, if they're cost conscious and you want mm-hmm. us, I get that, but if we have to travel 4 hours to do your
it's
case, there's expense that. So you just,
right.
I find you just let the client know what's going on, give them the information to make an informed decision, and you can't go wrong.
Awesome. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you.
And look forward to seeing you again.
And thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
And love to have you back.
This show is brought to you by My Advocate Center, the voice for families and family law advocates. Learn more at myadvocatecenter.com.